we come by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
Asking, Father, for your divine intervention. I believe, especially with me personally, that whenever you put a burden upon me, I need divine intervention.
Oh, hallelujah.
Divine intervention in my mind. I need your presence in my mind, that your thoughts would be my thoughts. Not my thoughts, your thoughts, Lord. Your thoughts, my thoughts.
Amen.
Father, your heart, my heart.
Amen.
You see the place that we are in. We see the time frame that we are living in.
Amen.
My God, it is so critical that we hear the voice of the Spirit.
Amen.
It is so critical that we obey the voice of the critic, of the Spirit. So often, Lord, we hear, but we do not obey. Help us to hear. Help us to obey. And I pray, Father, that you would anoint the ears of the hearers. Father, it's words that say one thing. It is the Spirit that translates them. Oh, God, translate these words to every individual here. Father, in the place or in the situation that they are in, with regards to the struggle that they are having with righteousness.
Amen.
So, Father, we just come by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we ask for your divine intervention.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I really wasn't going to get up here today. But as I was sitting back there in my seat, and the Lord began to talk to me, well, we need to start at ground zero. We have a particular word, but we do not believe it. A particular word is for a particular time. And not only do we not believe the word that God has given us, but we do not believe that it is the time for the fulfillment of that word. And we are going on with the word in the same vein, in the same way that we had in the years before. And it is not in the time that we live in and the word that we have. It is not a word that you can do that with, that God is going to meet you and move in your circumstances regarding it as he has in the past. Because you see, God has a time frame, and that time frame is not dependent on me or what I do. What I do and what I have, what I believe, is dependent upon the time frame that is in God's mind, if I want to be a part of it. There have been several dreams that have been coming, and all of the dreams that have been coming have been highlighting our position of unbelief. And the activities that we have been involved in as far as life is concerned. Perhaps I should start here by taking you into Isaiah. It's the scripture the Lord spoke to me this morning.
Yay!
Isaiah, the 6th chapter. And God was making a change. If you go into Isaiah, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and in chapter 6, God was making a change. And there had been something of a revival that had been going on in Israel under the reign of this king Uzziah. He had begun to put certain things in order. He was begin to listen to the word of God, and he began to order his life in such a way as to line up with those principles of God. And it was setting the stage for the next move of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And not only that, but I believe that in some manner or some way, the prophet Isaiah was having something of a position of personal preference, in that the king was listening to the word that God was bringing. So there was a personal investment, there was a personal position of a benefit to the prophet. And when we come into the sixth chapter, and we find that God is beginning to move in the structure of that humanity, or that circumstance of that situation, and began to order a change. And you know, I don't think it was just a declaration that when the scripture says in the year that the king Uzziah died, I think it was a lamentation. I think there was something of a sorrow in the man's heart concerning it. But God wanted to lift him up. God wanted to bring him up to a higher level. And it took the destruction of his circumstances and the position or place that would affect his ministry. Hello? Hallelujah. Because not only was it changing for Israel, but it was changing for the prophet Isaiah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it was not only an exhortation, or it not only was a statement to bring to an awareness of the mind, hallelujah, of a natural change. There was something happening in the spirit. And there was something that was necessary. Now, if you look at the prophet and the position that he had, and if you look at the aspect of what he was and what he was designated to do, he represents the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. He was a man, and you have to understand old prophet theology, if I can use that word. They were not men. They were not like New Testament prophets. They were men that God selected for one reason or another, by virtue of something in their character that God could utilize.
That's right.
And when the Spirit of God came down upon them, hallelujah, it wasn't something that they had the ability to change.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It wasn't something they had the ability to manipulate. They had to speak as the Word of God.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was done that way so that we might understand the nature of the Word of God and prophecy, you understand. Because prophecy is not just the aspect of a man speaking, as it were, for God. Because it says that where there is prophecy, what? Yes, but it says there is the presence. Huh? It is the witness of the presence of God. Hallelujah. It's called the testimony of Jesus. Hallelujah. But we are not, we don't live under that jurisdiction any longer. And the prophet Isaiah, though he was a singular man who had a particular word, is indicative of a corporate move of God under the auspices and the authority of a living word. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. It's not something that is just relegated to the Old Testament.
Amen.
It was something that God did so that we might understand the nature of what prophecy and prophets are.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we are somewhat different now, because it says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to who?
To the prophet.
It's subject to the man.
Yes.
Amen.
It's subject to the prophet.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Hallelujah. That means that if the Spirit of God begins to talk to me to prophesy, I can prophesy or I cannot prophesy.
Yeah, that's right.
But I want to take it beyond just that church thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Word of God is prophetic.
Amen.
Amen.
When you look into John chapter 1, the spirit of prophecy has moved from where it was in the Old Testament to what it is that we know of it into the New Testament, into a new dimension.
Yeah. Yes.
Hallelujah. And if you want to know that dimension, then you have to go to John chapter 1. Because it begins to tell you the reality of what we call prophecy is. Hallelujah. What does it say? In the beginning. Hallelujah. What was the word? Hallelujah. Do you know that everything that God made in the beginning was prophetic? Hallelujah. That is why we can take every story from the very beginning of chapter 1 right up through to the New Testament, into the New Testament, into Revelation, and roll it over into this time frame in which we live. Because it's not a word that is delegated or regulated to a particular dispensation. Hallelujah. But in the dispensations of times, there are fullnesses of that word coming to a manifestation. And now we are living in the time frame, and we are coming into events and circumstances when the fullness of that dispensation, or the totality of what it was in God's mind, is on the verge of breaking forth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But in order to do that, we have to understand the mechanics of our situation. We have to understand the maladies of our being, of our soul position of life and living. The things that we have set our affections upon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you look at the church in Acts, okay? You look at the church, is that mine? You look at the church in Acts. They have the same word. They have the same word, brother.
Yes.
They have the very... We are believing. We are running after a word that was brought to us by an apostolic ministry.
Yes.
Hello? We're talking about James. We're talking about Peter. We're talking about Matthew and all of those different ones who have come down through the ages. It's an apostolic word that has been handed down by baton from one individual to other individuals. And every time it's handed down, it has an expansion. It has a development. It goes from one level to another level.
Yes.
And it is not just in the aspect of that knowledge that we have that we might know more. The knowledge that God gives us is for the purpose of lifting us.
Yes, amen.
But every time God wants to lift you, you have to leave something behind.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
My God.
Thank you,
Lord.
Every time God wants to lift you, you have to pay.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. Sister Mavis once said to me, she said, Brother Bert, he said, I was complaining about a situation. If you can imagine that. I was complaining about a situation and a circumstance where I thought that what was going on was totally out of sync with what should be done. And I was complaining about it. And she said to me, she didn't talk about the situation. That's what I liked about Mavis. She just always went right to the heart of the matter and put her finger on it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And she said to me, she said, Brother Bert, he says, salvation is free. Salvation is free. He says, everything after that, you have to pay for it.
That's right.
Mm.
Amen.
You have to pay for it.
That's right.
You have to pay for it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the recognition of what it is I have to pay has to be very evident to me. It has to be a reality to me so that I can deal with the aspect of that payment.
Yeah.
So God is very precise. If I have to deal with anger, He makes me know that it's anger that I have to deal with. Okay. If it's a lust for things, then it makes me know that it is a lust of things that I am dealing with. If it's a lust of my heart after flesh, He makes it know that it is a lust of flesh and I need to repent.
Amen.
I need to repent. We come to church, we hear, and we might say we're sorry, and we walk out the door and we don't change.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. And it's not a matter of just changing to do right. It's a matter of changing to fulfill the will of God that He might take us and bring us yet to the next level.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Because, brethren, whether you want to believe it or not, we are living on the end of the end time.
That's right.
And we are now living in the time frame that circumstances and situations are going to become so absolutely terrible that it's going to take divine intervention to deliver us out of it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And it's not going to be one of those things you go to God and say, oh, I'm in trouble. God, help me, help me, help me, help me. God is not going to help you if He has given you the accoutrements by which you might help yourself. Hallelujah. There are certain things that God will do for you because it's God's responsibility to do them. But there are certain things that God will not do for you because it's your responsibility, my responsibility, to behave and to act in accordance to His Word.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. And if we think that you can get into this thing, hallelujah, if you think you can get into this thing with all of the accoutrements of life that you have, you are mistaken. You are mistaken. You are mistaken. You will not receive the promise. You will not get what it is that you desire to get. Hallelujah. One of the strongest instincts that we have to deal with is the instinct of self-preservation. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. Not only is it a spirit, it's a prince that rules over the soul of man. Hallelujah. Out of that instinct of self-preservation, there are so many other things that work. Hallelujah. The position of preeminence, the position of security, and all of the things that go into that arena. But brethren, don't you understand? The malady is not out here. The malady is in here.
Oh, yes.
It's in here. And we're not dealing with in here.
Oh, yes.
We're not. Hallelujah. We're not. Dreams are coming through dreamers. And I believe in dreamers. They have saved my life so many different times. Hello? Hallelujah. And what it's saying is that the building is in a position of collapsing, of imploding upon itself. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. And one of the reasons why is we're not sanctifying our minds. Yeah. We're not sanctifying our bodies. We're not sanctifying our environment. Sanctify your environment, you go through, you clean the house. You know, my wife, she is very meticulous in cleaning. Hallelujah. She's very meticulous in cleaning. And when she cleans, she wants it to at least stay that way for another 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if you clean the outside of the vessel, what does the scripture say? Mm-hmm. He said of the Pharisees, outside what? Outside what? Huh? Hallelujah. He says outside you're clean. You clean the scepter, you make it look so absolutely beautiful, so absolutely enhanced. But inside what?
Dead man bones.
Yes. Dead man bones.
Yes.
And that reminds me of the valley of dry bones.
Yes.
Can these bones live?
Mm.
Hallelujah. And you know, God could have just blown on the bones. You know that.
Yes.
God could have just blown on the bones. And the prophet says, oh, thou knowest, O God. Hallelujah. Thou knowest, O God. Hallelujah. But he said to the man, prophesy.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
He said to the man, what if the man, Brother Eze, wouldn't have prophesied?
That's right.
Nothing would have happened.
Oh, God.
Nothing would have happened.
Yeah, yeah.
You come in here, you sit, you want to pray. I don't know if you've noticed the lack of energy.
Yeah.
Spiritual energy.
Yeah.
Why? You haven't been eating spiritual food.
Yes, amen.
You have not been sanctifying your mind.
Oh, my God.
You have not been sanctifying your soul. You haven't been working on cleaning up the inside of the vessel.
My God.
Now, it's not my perception, you understand. It's not my... I don't look at you, I see a very lovely person. I see a very lovely smile. I see nice dresses and nice clothes and very neat and orderly. And I hear such nice things. And I think, oh, praise the Lord, what a sweet sister, what a sweet brother. But inside, something is wrong. Something is missing. Something is out of coil. Something is not in line with God.
Hallelujah.
And God is not... And you know, brethren... You know God is so gracious, He's not going to come and grab you by the lapels of the coat and shake you like this and slap you across the face. Hallelujah. He's just going to bring a little word. He's going to bring a little word. He's going to bring a little word here, a little word there, a little word there. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And you have a responsibility to hear.
That's
why?
Right.
Because God has anointed your ears by which you might hear the voice of Tyrion of God.
Hallelujah.
You have the Spirit of God in you that you might recognize the Spirit of God when
Hallelujah.
It talks to you.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah had the revelation. He's indicative of that end time company of people.
Amen.
Isaiah is an example of that end time. He's a sample of the sons of God. Hallelujah. He saw the revelation. He didn't turn around and says, well, you're dirty, you're dirty, you're dirty,
yeah.
you're dirty, you're dirty. You're dirty, you're dirty. He didn't turn around. He said, Oh God, it was written. His mantle, it was written his heart. We want to rent the mantle. We don't want to rent the heart.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Hi,
hallelujah. I remember a man who had a particular problem. He had a particular position or place. A malady that was so contrary to righteousness, and he knew it. Hello? He knew it. And he knew that if something wasn't done about that malady, he would miss God.
Mm.
Hallelujah. One day he made up his mind. We sang that, don't we? Ourselves. Oh, yes. We sang, oh, I made up my mind. Oh, yes. That's because we haven't made up our minds.
Mm.
I don't care how you sing it. Fast, slow, up, down. Huh? Shout it. Whisper it. Huh? I don't care how you sing it. If it's not in here. If it's not in here. If it's not in here. Hallelujah. It's not going to be out here.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Oh, we come to church and think we're going to clap and sing and dance and praise the Lord. You know what? There was something that happened to Solomon. You know, not Solomon, Samson. Huh? He just continued his life. He knew better.
Yeah.
You hear me? He knew better. He knew better. And one day, he went a little too far.
Yes, right.
Did God intervene? Did God step in and say, hey, Samson, wake up! No. Huh? And he woke up and he went out as times before. And what? He wist not. Huh? He wist not that the Spirit of God hath departed from him. Hallelujah. You know, if there is any example of the end time company of people, if there's any example of the holy place church, Samson surely must be an example.
Yes, that's right.
And what happened to Samson is now taking place in the holy place people.
God help us.
You know, we talk about the abomination that maketh desolate. No, we talk about the abomination. Huh? We leave out that maketh.
Yeah.
Did you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
The abomination that what?
Maketh
means there is a progression. That means there is a development from within the holy place church. Is that a building?
No, sir.
Is that an organization?
No, sir.
Is that some aspect of denominational thinking? Come on. Who is the temple of God? We are the temple of God. We are the temple of God. So if there is an abomination that is making desolate, it is something that is in the temple.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And when Isaiah said, Oh God, he saw the cherubims. What did he say? He said, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord high. I saw the Lord high upon a throne, lifted up, and his train filled the temple.
Yes.
He had a revelation of God.
Yeah. Mm.
He saw God in his omnipotence.
Mm.
Hallelujah. When was the last time I saw God in his omnipotence?
Mm.
I'm still standing, so I must not have seen him.
Hey, my cut.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Oh, come on, brethren.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And he said, you know, when that glorified God, that glorified man God appeared unto John, he fell down as one dead.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Do you hear me? He fell down as one dead. Dead.
Mm.
Hallelujah. I don't think he was symbolic. I think he died. And I think God reached down and he resurrected him. Hello.
Hallelujah.
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 Why? Because in John, as good as John may have been, as much as John had suffered, as much as persecution, and as many times they had tried to kill John. Huh? And they couldn't kill him. Come on. Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Why couldn't they not kill him? Why? Because he had some sort of abracadabra covering over him? Some sort of force field around him? Hallelujah. No, he had mortality inside of him.
Yes.
He had immortality.
Yes.
Immortality. Yes. Immortality. Yes. He had the Word inside
of
him.
Hallelujah.
In such a way, in such an amount, that they could not kill that Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I want to tell you something else. John desired to get higher in God. So God arranged a little set of circumstances for John. Hallelujah. He was God.
Hallelujah.
He was God. Okay, I'll tell you a better situation. It's better illustrated. There was three Hebrew boys. They had been walking before the Lord. They were in captivity. You were in captivity.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You were in captivity to that flesh. You're in captivity to that flesh. You're in captivity to your circumstances. You've got bills, house, car, life, children, education, this, that.
Captivity.
Captivity, captivity, captivity. Buried under responsibility.
Yay.
Hallelujah. And
work.
And it's like putting money in bag with holes. Hey. It runs out.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we wonder why God gives us a dream about the water pipes busting and breaking and leaking out all over the place. Huh?
Oh my God.
Hello? Hallelujah. We're in trouble.
Yes.
As a people. It would be better for us to be in the outer courts. That's pretty drastic. Hallelujah. But it would be better to not know than to know and not do what you're supposed to do with the knowledge that God has given you.
Right.
Not only the knowledge, brethren, but the power.
That's right.
Mm. Oh yes, you think that you're just going to say, well, it's going to cost me this a little bit. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, this is going to cost me. You reach in and you pull it out. And you go, oh, here you go. And then it comes around. No, that's not enough. Okay, here you go. Oh yeah, that's not enough. Dig out, dig in, get down in that deep pocket. And then you have to start cutting things.
Yes, sir. Yes, amen.
You have to start cutting things. You have to start cutting this little extra over here. Maybe you like to go out to dinner. You have to cut it.
Mm.
Maybe you like to buy different types of clothes. You have to cut it.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Why? Because God says, no flesh.
Amen.
No flesh.
Amen.
No flesh shall what? Inherit the kingdom of God. And if you think we're going to get into the kingdom on the basis of grace and virtue that God has given us, or on the basis of a revelation, you are mistaken. We have to go through a veil of flesh. It has to be rent.
Yes, yes, amen.
If we want to see the reality of God, if we want to have the experience of God Almighty, if we want to sit in His presence. Okay, Abraham, come on. Abraham, you've heard it. Feel it.
Hey.
Feel it.
Hallelujah.
Feel it in your soul. How would you like to have God come to you and say, I want your son.
My God.
I want your daughter.
Oh my God.
How would you struggle with that? I want him. Bring him up. Offer him. Abraham was able to do it because Abraham had a relationship and he believed God. You think he would have done it if he didn't believe God, Brother Jokes? This is a man that met God face to face. This is a man that spoke to God. This is a man that came in and had lunch with Abraham. Has God had lunch with you, lady?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know something? This is not something we're going to do with religious fervor. This is not something we're going to do as a religious exercise. This is not something we're going to do because we have to do it. This is something that we have to understand the dire necessity that it must be done. Unless I don't do it, I will not receive. Hallelujah. He said, King Uzziah died. He died. Do you hear me? He died. It was the end of an era for the kingdom of Israel. It was new dispensation. And a particular emphasis was on Isaiah because he was seeing in the Spirit. He was seeing what all other Israel was not seeing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But he turned his sight, he turned his vision upward. Hallelujah. He began to dig into the resources. You know, I think these men of God, as they were prophesying, they were hearing. As they were prophesying and as they were hearing, they were assimilating something. I mean, oh, yes, I do. I believe it. I believe it.
Amen.
I believe they were getting the revelation of salvation. I believe they were getting the revelation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe they were getting a greater revelation of the end time and the position or the company of people that is now sitting in front of me here. Hello? Oh, yes. What about Elijah? You know, the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is what?
No remission.
How did Elijah make it? Not only how did he make it, sister, how did he transcend death? Huh? He had a revelation.
Oh, yes.
He had an understanding. He saw in the spirit.
Yes.
He just wasn't walking around doing miracles. He was walking with God in the heavenly. And as he was walking with God in the heavenly, and the word of God was coming out of him, that word was also inseminating his soul.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
And he was bleeding from God, and there was something building, something building, something building, something building in Isaiah.
Yes.
And you know, there's a lot to be said about that place in the cave that he was with God alone. And there's more to it than what we see or read with our eyes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, I believe that Isaiah knew that he was, not Isaiah, but Elijah, I believe that he knew that he was going to be taken.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Right. The prophets knew it.
Yes.
Yes.
The prophets knew it.
That's right.
Yes. They came to Elijah and said, your master's going to be taken up. Hallelujah. Elijah said, you hold your peace. I bet he had his eyes glued on that man.
Oh yeah.
I bet he had a hold of his skirt, just
hallelujah,
following him around.
Hallelujah.
Why? There was something in Elisha that wanted what Elijah had.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Something in Elisha that God that said, this is God, and whatever it is of God, I want it. Not only do I want it, I want a double portion of it.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
And you know, I don't know how much it cost him, but it sure cost his father.
Oh yeah.
He took those yoke of oxen. And took those yoke of oxen. He slew them. He took the instruments of work and put them on a fire. Because that's what it would cost him.
Yes. Amen.
His ability to provide for himself. You know what he was working with? He was working with his inheritance.
Yes. That's right.
He was the son of his father. And I don't know that he had another brother. And he had the right. He had the right to take those oxen. He had a right to take those accoutrements of farming, put them in a pile, slay them oxen, and offer them as an offering. And you know what makes me know he had a right? Because God accepted the offering.
Yes. Yes.
He started his walk with Elijah right off at the start.
Yes.
On the right foot.
Yes.
My God. That's right.
Oh yes. Oh yes, yes, yes. You get baptized. You get baptized not under the auspices of the Baptist Church, not of the auspices of some denominational organization or operation. You got baptized under the auspices of this word. Mm-hmm. At least I hope you did. If you didn't, you need to go get rebaptized. Because your baptism is just getting you wet. That's all it's done. Got you wet and brought some sort of sense of self-justification to you. Hallelujah. You know, the church, the devil got into church business a long time ago, and if you don't think he's not in the holy place church, you're wrong. The only thing, he's coming into the holy place through a different door. He's coming in through you.
Yes.
He's coming in through me. We are born with a spirit of perdition.
That's right.
And that spirit of perdition is not dealt with until it comes to the golden altar of the incense.
Hey.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the golden altar of incense that God is now bringing us to. Hallelujah. So here's Isaiah in the midst of his dilemma, in the midst of his humanity, midst of his prosperity. Not his prosperity per se, but it was the prosperity of Israel and its position of coming back to God. Oh, katarala mandaya. You know, we have basically wasted 3 or 4 days. Not that the Word of God has not been coming. But we have not taken the Word of God that has come, that has had particular purpose, and utilized it for repentance. How many times have I heard a man stand up here and say, we need to respond? Huh? Yeah. Hallelujah. And you know, a lot of you are in the habit of traditional response.
Yes.
Did you hear me?
Amen.
You're in the habit of traditional response. Oh, somebody gets up here and begins to pray, and everybody starts speaking in tongues, blah, 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 blah. Rebuking. Huh? Does it change? Do you have more power? Do you have a sense of relief? Do you have a sense of power and authority? Do you just walk out and you fall back into the same rut? Huh? Hallelujah. You just walk back in, fall into your routine. Routine takes over. Door shuts. God is gone. Routine takes over. We have responsibilities. We've got to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, go to work. Hello? I'm not. What if God says don't go to work? But you know something? You have to be open to God not to go to work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What if God says, I don't want you working anymore. I just want you in the closet praying. And I want you seeking my face. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Hallelujah.
What are you going to do? Are you going to be able to hear God? Are you going to ratify your position? Oh God, I got responsibilities. I got this and I have this. And I have this and this and this and this. And I can't do that. Huh? Or even if you can hear God say it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The man that I was talking to you about earlier, a little bit before, he had a problem. He had a malady. And it was something that was dragging him into hell. And he got desperate one day. He got desperate. He got desperate, desperate, desperate. I'm saying he got desperate. He came to God and says, you can't deliver me. Kill me. Hello? Oh, you think it just, you know, that everything was alright. God came into the room and knocked him down on the floor. What do you think his first thought was?
Hey, you want me dead?
What do you think his first thought was? Oh my God, he's going to kill me! What was the next thought? I don't want to die! Hallelujah. Well, God didn't kill him. He just delivered him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Maybe he killed him a little bit. I don't know. Hallelujah. God does... You know, we have to die. Die, 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 die. Dying is painful. Dying is painful. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, one day, as a young man, early on, we were in this world, and we were gung-ho people. No, I had death to self, man. Well, death to self. We had kids. We weren't going to get their social security numbers. They weren't going to have to go into the system of schooling and all of that. We were gung-ho. We were not believing in doctors. We were not believing in this and not believing in that, not believing that. We were believing in God. One day, God decided to test me. God decided to test me. And I was coming back from a friend's house after I had been there over there talking to him about the things of the Lord, right? I'm in my pickup truck coming back, and all of a sudden I got this searing pain going up my... What arm is it? The left arm? Huh? I got this searing pain going up my left arm. Ah! Pain! 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 And I get closer to my house, and the how closer I get to the house, the worse it gets. And by the time I got my truck stopped, I'm going... What do you think?
Heart attack.
What do you think?
Huh?
What do you think? I'm sitting there in my truck and I'm saying, oh God! I got babies! Oh yeah! I threw my babies out there. I had four children, they were babies. I said, oh God, I got babies. Who's going to take care of them? Huh? Hallelujah. And the pain is increasing. It's increasing. It's increasing. Hallelujah. And I stagger out of the truck and I break through that door and I tried to call for my wife out of the trailer. We were living in a mobile home, but I did not have the breath to call. And I finally got up and I got into the door and I collapsed on the floor. And she immediately thought, you're dying! That's definitely what I did not want to hear. And I want to tell you something. My faith just collapsed.
Oh, Jesus.
And I began to cry to God, oh God, I don't want to die. Huh? Well, I wasn't going to die, evidently. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know what? It brought home the reality of how much I love this flesh. And I began to go to God, and I said, God, kill it.
Jesus.
Not like you did just a while ago, but kill it anyway. Little by little, kill it, kill it, kill it, kill it, kill it, until there is absolutely no response. Hallelujah. Oh, you think that God is not going to touch you. Brethren, you have something that is far more precious than your life.
That's right.
God is giving you something far more precious than your life. God has given you something far more precious than the substance and the prosperity of what God has given you, has blessed you with.
Yes.
Hallelujah. What does it make? What does it matter if a man has the world at his disposal, but he loses his soul? And we as a people are in the greatest jeopardy of all people of the earth that have ever followed God.
Yes, that's right.
Because we are the people that are the culmination of the threat of the existence of hell and darkness. We are that people. And the devil has to do whatever he can do. Hallelujah. And you know what? He has given the license. He has been given the license to move. There were three exposures of Job to the devil, wasn't there? Huh? We are coming into that third exposure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this prophet, this word of God in man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Was seeing his situation, seeing his circumstance in the right perspective. Oh yes, oh God, bless me financially. Bless me. I'll just prosper the work of God. Hallelujah. Oh, we give a little bit here, we give a little bit there. And we may do good in what we're doing, but there's a little story in the Bible that I have a little trouble with that type of thinking. It's called the rich young ruler. He's the Holy Place Church, you know. He comes to God. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, you're not talking about heaven. You're talking about the reality of the walking, talking word. You're talking about the reality of eternity that is inside of you, inside of me. We don't even know what it means to be born again. We've got the seed, the indelible seed, the incorruptible seed of God in our soul. It has all of the omniness of God.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
It's encapsulated in our soul, in our mind, in our emotions, and it's in subjugation to the whims and the desire of that environment. And when that environment is divided, brother, hallelujah, do not expect God to do anything to a man or a woman or a child that is unstable. He will want. Receive nothing. Hallelujah. The nothing is pertinent. that nothing is pertinent, that nothing is pertinent to the revelation of God that you have.
Amen.
This young man, he had a relationship with God. Did you know that? It wasn't a church relationship, because he could not do what he said he did if it was just a church relationship. He would not have had the power. He would not have had the authority. And Jesus, what he said, what must I do? He said, honor thy father and thy mother. And a few other things, I think. And he says, I have done all these things. Jesus didn't rebuke him.
Right.
In fact, Jesus ratified his position. He ratified. He says, yes, but there's one thing.
Yeah.
He didn't say two things, three things. He didn't go back to the rudiments of his salvation. He said, you lack one thing. Sell all that you have. Now, brethren, you have to ascertain the all. You have to ask. Some of you may not have anything really of any value, but if what you have is a detriment to doing the will of God, if what you have is interfering with your position and obedience to the will of God, then what you have is detrimental to your calling and election, and you have to give it up. And don't give it up with the idea that he's going to replace it tenfold. Oh yeah, we have been pre-programmed by religion.
Yeah.
Give and it shall be given. Oh yes, give and it will get back. Pressed down, running over, and you're just counting those dollars. You're just counting those dollars. You're sitting there, raining down on you. Oh yes, we're pre-programmed. We are pre-programmed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pre-programmed. Concerning our position of relationship, we're still church. You know what the test is, though. You know, it's not what you do, what I say I tell you to do. It's just doing it and find out what happens. Hearing from God. Hearing from God. You don't do it because I tell you. You know what? We do not believe the word of God. Why are we here? Why did you come here? Why? Why? You know that there are going to be certain things and certain messages coming, I think. You've probably had an idea that there are going to be certain people that were going to be ministering, I think. Hello? And yet you come. Why? Why do you come? What is your motive? Is it come to examine? Is it you come to analyze? Do you come to because you feel obligated to come? Or did you come by virtue of the Spirit of God? Now, if the Spirit of God led you to come, hello? Hallelujah. Then there's something that God wants you to feel. There is something that God wants you to hear. There's something that God wants you to see. There's something that God wants you to believe.
Amen.
Loose! Loose!
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And in the hearing, and in the seeing, there's something that God expects you to do. Not here particularly, maybe here, but not necessarily here. But when you go home,
amen,
you put it on the altar.
Yes.
Right.
Hallelujah.
What do I do with my business?
Amen.
What do I do with my business? What do I do with my business?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. And wait to see what God says. And wait to see how God ratifies it. Hallelujah. But you better be careful what you pray, and you better mean what you pray, because God is going to move.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh yes, he's going to move. It says on the day that the sons of God have gathered together. Where are we gathered? How are we gathered? Unto what are we gathered? Hello? Says Satan came within the midst. And as he came, God went to Satan and said, look at this man. His name is Jim.
Yeah.
Look at him. Look at this young lady. Her name is Ruby. Huh? Look at this little boy. His name is Benjamin. Huh? You see how he loves me. Look at this sister, Bola. Look at this young man, Brother Peone. Look at him. Look at him. Isn't he righteous? Doesn't he eschew righteousness? Isn't he pursuing? Look at this young lady. Huh? Hallelujah. Doesn't she love me? Isn't she working in the things of the kingdom, moving in the things of the Spirit? Oh, you think Satan's going to say, oh, yeah, they're a really good example. You did a good job on that one. Oh, yes, you did a good job. No, 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 no. That they serve God for not. Let me touch him. Let me touch him. Let me touch him. Let me touch him. And he will curse you to your face. Huh? You put a hedge around him. Hallelujah. You put a hedge around him. You know, when God comes, when things start going south in your situation, what do you do? Do you start asking, oh, why, God? Why? Why are you doing this? Why? Do you say, where are you, God? Where are you? Where are you? Hallelujah. Well, if you ask God that, or you respond like that, God's not going to answer you. Huh? He's just going to wait until you get the revelation. He's going to withdraw from you until you get the revelation. He did not intervene in Job's position of responsibility and life. He just began to allow the devil to strip him and strip him and strip him and strip him and strip him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you don't believe we're being stripped, look at your personal set of circumstances and see if the devil is coming in like a roaring lion.
Oh, yeah.
To devour your children, to devour your substance, to devour this, to devour that. Hallelujah. Or maybe you're one of those fortunate ones. God just hasn't got around to you yet.
That's right.
Maybe God hasn't got around to you yet. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And brethren, well, I'm not talking about necessarily sins of the flesh. I'm talking about sins of the soul.
That's right.
The defilement of our minds. The defilement of our emotions. Right. You know, your soul is comprised of several parts, but God calls the combination of it and the unit of it as the heart of man. We have not overcome the basics of the pre-programming of humanity that was pre-programmed in the Garden of Eden when the devil prophesied over Eve. You know what? It's a spiritual word.
That's right.
It's a spiritual word. It has the ability to create spiritual darkness.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Isaiah was understanding the position to play. Brother, we are coming yet into another level of tribulation.
Oh, you don't want to hear about it. Don't want to be tribulated. But I'm sorry. Hallelujah.
We are going to be tribulated right up to our eyebrows. And we have to have the right attitude.
Yes, sir.
We have to have the right perspective. Hello? We have to have the right attitude. You know, there was a man I knew. He was working for the kingdom of God, moving under the auspices and the authority of God. And he was doing this. And what he was doing was prospering and building and going and coming to a place of fullness. Hello? It was a benefit. It was a blessing, not just to him, but it was a blessing to those that are around him. Hello? And he working. One day God came to his life. I want it all. I want it all. Hallelujah. The man had to struggle. The man had to struggle. Hallelujah. One day he came to the conclusion, well, what is the all of it in comparison to you?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he says, it's yours. Take it. You know what happened? God took it. God took it. God took it. God took it. Took it. Took it. And you know what he had to do? He had to turn around and bless those that took it. Hello?
Yes.
Hallelujah. But what was given to him in the spirit was indelible.
Oh, yes. Yes.
It was indelible. There was something in him that broke. Something in him that broke, never to rise up again in a manner of having a dominion over his soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He was delivered of revenge. He was delivered of vengeance. He was delivered of self-pity. He was delivered of that poor me type spirit. He was delivered. He was free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something else. What it cost him to build, what he built, wasn't alleviated.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? You go down and buy a building. Hello? And you don't have the money to pay for that building. And you have to make payments on it. And somebody comes away and takes the building, but it doesn't take the debt of the building. You still have the debt. You still have to pay and have to pay and have to pay and have to pay and have to pay, have to pay until something is paid out of your soul.
That's right.
You are exchanging something in your soul by virtue of what you are paying for the redemption of what it is that God is working in a man's soul.
Amen.
One day God came along and says, enough is enough. He says, you are delivered.
Hallelujah.
What do you think that man did? He jumped. He shouted. He was praising the Lord for his deliverance. He walked out with his pockets like this. But his soul was full.
Amen.
His soul was full.
Hallelujah.
And he was praising the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Brethren, there's a price to pay.
Yes.
There's something that you have to do. I cannot do it for you. I cannot tell you what it is that you have to do. You have to go to God and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? And then get down into prayer and fasting. Because your life depended upon it, because it does. Your spiritual life as well as your physical life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a word that the Lord spoke to me concerning traveling and all of that. And he says, you can't do things like you've done it last year. The demographics of the world are changing so rapidly. And you don't want to be someplace that God doesn't want you to be, that you were, because you just did it the year before.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I have to be selective now. I have to take time. It wasn't an issue before. Oh yeah, let's go. The door's open. Bang! Go through it. Hallelujah. Can't do that anymore. Can't do that anymore. Hallelujah. I can't make decisions upon my own anymore. Do you hear me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. There was a time when it was allowable. I'm in a situation and a certain need arises. I can move on my own volition because I feel in the spirit that the word of God says, do it. I do it. God says, you can't do that anymore. You can't do that. I said, why? Don't ask God why. Hallelujah. I know why. Hallelujah. Because there's something in here. Something in here God is after. There's something in here that God wants broken. Here, broken.
Amen.
Broken. Broken. Oh, you guys are proud. You're proud. And it's not that you have more pride than anybody else, but you're proud. You're proud of who you are. You're proud of what you are. You're proud of your accomplishments. You're proud of your education and your excellence and what it is that you do because you're very good at it.
That's right.
It's got to be broken.
Yes, man.
It's got to be broken.
Amen.
Got to be broken.
Amen.
Got to be broken.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The vessel on the potter's wheel. God's shaping it. The potter's shaping it. And it got to a place. It looks nice. It looks without flaw, but something in the character of it is not to the satisfaction, so he smashes it down and starts all over again. Thou fool, dost thou not know that a key has to fall into the ground? I have to die. Not because I say I'm dying, because I am. When you look at me, I look like I'm dying. When you have a cancer patient who's in the 4 stages of cancer, do they look like they're dying?
Yeah.
There's no doubt in your mind. They're dying. Huh? Oh, yes. You tell the elephant, well, you might as well get ready. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, you know, that brings back a little story to me. One time we had this elderly lady this older lady at the time, she wasn't elderly at the time, who had a heart attack. And it was a major heart attack. And she was in the intensive care in the hospital. Me and another brother decided to go up to the hospital and pray for her because we said, God says, I'm going to raise her up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, you know how, I don't know, maybe you're this container of faith and virtue. I don't know. I'm walking to that. Are you really going to raise this woman up, Lord? Hallelujah. We walk into that hospital and it's even more. She's laying on that hospital bed. She's got tubes running in every arm of her, in her nose, in her arms, and these lights are blinking and these things are beeping and all this thing's going on. Everything to enhance death. And I look at that woman. She's comatose, laying there like this. And I said, God, are you really going to raise her up? Hallelujah. We have the word, though. I said, okay. I said to my friend, God said he's going to do it. Let's see what he's going to do. He got on one side of her. I got on the other side of her. I laid hands on that arm. He laid hands on that arm. We began to pray. And it was like a lightning bolt came down in that bed. That woman went rigid. And she came up off of the sheet. And I could feel like this, and I'm thinking, and I'm doing, oh my God, what is happening? And I'm still thinking, is she going to die? And I'm thinking, I'm going to be responsible. In spite of my foolishness,
yeah.
In spite of my immaturity, God touched the woman. That was 20 years ago.
She's 90 years old.
She's 90 years old today and still looking
Amen.
To God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That should not just be a one-at-a-time experience.
Yes. Oh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, Brother Ezzy, don't take this personally. You just need to make all of your equipment rooms prayer rooms. Start generating. What do they call it? Ejecting all of that equipment out of there. Start a 24-hour praying church prayer chain. Let the people don't get into the door without being smitten by God and healed on the spot.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
My God.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. You know, I have a lot of parents mad at me because I talk about education. Education in the arena of the national educational objective is to eradicate God.
That's right.
It's totally, absolutely diabolic.
Right.
Hallelujah. It's diabolic. I don't care what it is. It's diabolic. I had one of my children come to me, and they said, "Dad, We want to put our kids into homeschool. I said into public school. I said, well, you can do what you want to do. But it will not be without consequences. And I said, the only way that you will alleviate those consequences is if you spend the time with them to, what do they call it? To offset the balance of the time that they have spent in school.
Yeah.
So that means if they have spent 4 hours in school learning education and the anti-Christ mentality. Hello, come on, brethren. When you sit in the class and you're open to the professor, it's not your ears that are open. It's your heart that is open. And these professors are anti-Christ mentality. They believe in evolution. They believe in no God. They believe in philosophy and all of the things that go into the world of education. And we want to submit our children into that and expect that they will come out unaffected or unfaith. I have not met one young person that has come out of university that is not lukewarm.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. They don't have to destroy the knowledge of God. They just have to water it down until it's lukewarm. Because the Bible, the devil knows that lukewarmness is a stench in the mouth of God. He will spit it out. You won't have to reject it. Hallelujah. We send our kids to school, maybe under the pressure of the government that we live in. Hallelujah. But that is not an excuse. When I started homeschooling our children, it was against the law. It wasn't heard of. And we had to fight, not in the natural arena, in the spirit, down on our face, on before the Lord, and begin to press God. We want to do this. We want to do this. But you are educating your children to be prosperous in a world that you assume will have the economy to prosper in. You're making a decision on the basis of your past experience, your present experience, but you're not thinking about tomorrow.
Right.
You're not thinking about the end of time. You're not thinking about the conflagration of the ages. Hello? Hallelujah. And you know, as we begin to pray in our closet, the laws begin to change. Did you hear me? They begin to change to allow us to have the liberty to teach our children in our home. I did not have to vote. I did not have to solicit. I did not have to go out and pass out pamphlets.
Hallelujah.
I just went into my closet.
Thank God.
And begin to pray, because the lives of my children were at stake.
Hallelujah.
One of my grandchildren just graduated, and he graduated within the out of home school. He graduated with the top 5% of the national average.
Praise the Lord.
He graduated. It wasn't 12 hours that universities were calling up and asking him to come and look at their universities. Hello? So the young man now had a decision to make. His parents had a decision to make. Will he go on? Why would you want to change the environment? Why? They take the fruit.
Yes.
So lush, so beautiful, so absolutely delicious, so much flavor, so much color in it. And it's not the fruit, it's the tree that produced it.
Yes.
It's the nutrients in the ground, it's the care of the tree, and the tree is the home. Do you understand me? And do you not think that God is not cognizant of that? And do you not think that God will not, in some manner or some way, make an avenue for you by which you might be able to facilitate what it is that is His will for you to do with regards to your children?
Hallelujah. It's not on the basis of legislation, Brother Rod. It's a basis of prayer and fasting in the closet. Not looking to change the law, but looking to do what it is necessary to raise your children in a Christian environment.
Amen.
Not just a Christian environment, brother, but an environment that teaches the word that you believe.
Amen.
The one novelty of homeschooling is that they teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic, but they teach them nothing about what we believe.
That's right.
You know, I've been in the gospel for over 40-some years. Hallelujah. And I had children in my home, and I will assume because we had meetings in our home. Can you hear me? Hallelujah. They never been to that organized religious thing. They had meetings in our home, and I thought that they were getting it. I thought they were understanding it. I think I was thinking that they were receiving it by osmosis. Hallelujah. I wasn't taking the time with them. I wasn't teaching them the foundational pieces of the tabernacle. I was thinking that in the meetings and the things of the activities that we were involved in, hallelujah, that they were where they were getting it, they were understanding it. I had an 18-year-old granddaughter that went with us to the Philippines. Hello? And as we begin to teach day in, day out, day in, day out of the fundamentals of the tabernacle and the position or the place of the pastoral spirit, she came to me one day and she said, Grandpa, I now understand. I understand this thing about pastors.
Praise the Lord.
Said, I never understood it. I looked at it and I said, you what? You what? She said, no, I didn't understand it. I said, oh my God. I said, dear daughter, I said, I am so sorry. I have failed you. I have let you down. I have failed in my position of responsibility. I have not taught you what it is that you need to be taught. Hello? I'm not making that mistake again. Hallelujah. I'm not making that mistake again. I'm not making it. Hallelujah. 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 We live under a prince of darkness.
That's right.
Jesus.
It says of him that he is, by virtue of conquest, the prince, the power of the air.
Yes.
He's over every aspect of our living that is outside of the realm of the revelation of the word that we have.
Amen.
Is this word that we have is to make us a better Christian? Oh yes, it is, but that isn't the epitome of it. Hallelujah. Grow up to be good individuals. Grow up to be responsible. You know, my children are responsible. They are. They work hard, they provide for their family, but I did not impregnate them with the word of God as I should have, and they are now paying the consequence of it. I'm not making that mistake with my grandchildren.
Amen.
I'm not making that mistake, and I'm not making that mistake with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says that the watchman stands on the wall and he sees destruction coming. Amen. And he alerts, or he does not sound the alarm, he does not blow the trumpet, then the blood of that which is shed will be on that man's hand. I'm not going to have your blood on my hands.
Amen.
Amen.
Not going to have the blood of you on my hands. Not going to have it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if you think that the bringing of this word is without consequence to me and my family, you are mistaken. I come in here with the word of God. I come in here with a message. You know, God, I don't plan what I'm going to say. God says, get up, I will fill your mouth. And he has done that for 40-some years. Hallelujah. So I don't know what I'm going to say. Sometimes it worries me. Of course, probably wouldn't worry you. I don't know what I'm going to say. Hallelujah. But as I open my mouth, God begins to speak. And you know, sometimes I can pull it. You know that?
Yes.
I can pull it. I can pull it back. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And I pay for it.
Yeah.
I go out that door and the devil hits me. And you know what? I have to cover my family.
Yeah.
I have to cover them. I have to cover them with the blood because they go after my children. They go after my grandchildren.
Yeah.
The devil goes after them, so I have to get down into prayer. When I leave here, I have to go to God and I begin to plead the blood over my family, over my home, over my grandchildren. I begin to rebuke the devil, the destruction, the devices that have been planned and perpetrated against them because of the word of God that I have released.
Amen. And it comes back on me. Do you understand me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I have a responsibility to overcome in the aspect of what it is that I'm telling you. And I'm the partaker. What is it? The husbandman?
First must
be the first partaker. Oh yes, we want to bless that into a blessing, right? Huh? Oh my God. Hallelujah. I don't know why anybody wants to be in this position. I have complained about it enough times to God. Hallelujah. But the fact of the matter is, there is a calling, there's an election upon our lives, and we are living in a time frame different from any other time frame we have ever lived on.
That's right.
Or lived in. We cannot be formed and expect God to do what it is that God is going to do. Hallelujah. That rich young ruler. You thought I forgot about him, didn't you? The rich young ruler. He had a lifestyle. He probably puts me to shame. I don't know that I could go to God and say, well, I've done all these things. Can you?
No, sir.
I've done all these things. Can you? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Honor your father and your mother. Huh? Be without malice. Be without bitterness, be without resentment. And you say all those things? His young man says, yes, I've done all those things from my youth. It was a continual position of living. I've done those things from my youth. And God says, yes, you have. You've done a good job. Now it's time to promote you. Time to promote you. Tell all that you have. Tell all that you have. Some of you have a lot. And I'm not saying the law is keeping you from the kingdom of God, but if it is, you need to know about it. You need to know about it. You know, there's an indictment against the Holy Place Church, and it's found in another one of the prophets. I think it's Haggai. It says that we are building houses.
Sealed houses.
That's your soul. You're building sealed houses. You're building houses that are personal to you. And it says, his house. I'm not talking about a temple or a tabernacle or a house or a building you go in. It's talking about your soul. He says, my house is desolate.
That's right.
My house is desolate. No wonder the desolation that maketh abominable, it has a position or place to grow. You know, there's a thing called mold.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Mm-hmm. It takes a certain environment for mold to grow.
Yes.
It takes a damp, wet, closed, dark environment. You know, mold won't grow where there's light.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
Mold won't grow where there's light, but where there is no light and it's always damp and it's kind of humid and hot, mold thrives. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when it says my tabernacle is in shambles, it's talking about a place that has mold growing. You know, you breathe some mold, you can kill you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some mold, I believe, they expel spores.
Yeah.
And you breathe the spores.
Yeah.
And the mold, does it grow inside of you?
Yes. Yes.
It begins to grow inside of you.
Right.
Oh God.
You know, I walk into some Christians' houses and they've got these big, huge entertainment centers. And they got all of these videos of sealing the floor. Row, row, row. Now, I'm not talking about your homes. It's not your home that I have in my mind. Huh? Hallelujah. Spirit of entertainment. I think somebody touched on that. Hallelujah. You know what it is? It's the escaping of reality.
Yes.
We want to build this fantasy world of life and liberty and pleasure and fun and all the accoutrements that go with that and gives you that full, that warm, fuzzy, wuzzy feeling.
Mm.
Oh, yes. Huh? I don't know. I think a video in the States, what's it cost? $6 or $7?
$10.
$10? And yeah, I looked at one of those things. If it was $10, they have at least $1,000 to $1,500 just in videos.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
And how many times do you watch them? How many times do you replay them? You know, I had a son one time that he was so involved in it that he would put a movie in and he would start doing the parts. He'd start doing the parts. One guy would get up and he'd start saying something and he would be speaking. And you know, he was quite good at it. He even took the spirit of the actor upon himself. And I told him one day, I says, you know, if you don't stop that, I'm going to rebuke you. And I'm going to deliver you. Hallelujah. You know, brethren, what is on the inside will manifest on the outside. And what you do in secret is going to be shouted from the housetop. Oh yes, it's going to be shouted loud and clear where everybody can see it. So I have to examine my own house. I have to look at my own house. I have to be very scrutinous. I have to be very meticulous about my house. God help me.
Yes.
To look at to look at myself and have a revelation. I want to be in the place that Isaiah was in.
Amen.
Hello? I want to be in that place. I want to be in that position.
Amen.
I look around. Oh God, I am unclean.
That's right, son.
And when he said, I have unclean lips, he wasn't talking about these lips.
Yes.
He was talking about this lips.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was talking about his heart. Because it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, have you ever noticed how you speak to one another? Huh? How you will sort of jest or use the scripture in a way that is frivolous or jokingly? Hello? Hallelujah. Or we say something kind of off of the character. You understand? Or somebody says something about somebody and said, well, he's always like that. Have you ever heard that terminology? She's always like that. You can always count on her doing this. You can always count on him doing that. Hallelujah. Or you say to somebody, well, they will never come to any good.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. It doesn't have to be that bad. Hallelujah. It doesn't have to be that bad. Hello? Hello? You have the power of creation in your mouth.
Right.
You have the power of creation in your heart. You have the power of creation to create. Hello? Hallelujah. And if I say something negative, I am working with a spirit to produce darkness.
No, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know one of the reasons why Jesus would not defend himself? Huh? Hallelujah. Because of the power he had to overcome it.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? He could have spoke the right word. And you know what? In spite of everything, Pilate would have released him.
Amen.
But you know what he did do? He gave Pilate the power to condemn him.
Right.
Come on. That's how Pilate got... The wife of Pilate came to Pilate and said, Look. I had a dream about this man. You need to stay clear of this. This is a just man. Did you hear it? Hallelujah. And I know that Pilate heard it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pilate heard it. And he was on the verge of letting the man go. Hello? And Jesus said to him, he said, well, the fault of it is not laid at your hands. The fault is laid at the hands who have delivered me into your hands. What do you think that did? Huh? It created the atmosphere and the platform for Pilate to say, yes, I'm going to crucify you. And he tried to put it upon the Jewish people. I don't know how the man died, but I bet he died in agony.
Yes.
We have the power of creation. We have the power of God inside of us. Every time you say God said something, something happened. Something was created. James says that sweet water and bitter water should what? Not come out of the same mouth. Hallelujah. When you have a malady, when you have a grievance against somebody, hello? What do you do with it?
You run somebody.
Huh? You find somebody who will agree with you. You find somebody who will agree with you. A woman will talk to her husband. A husband will talk to his wife. Hello? Children will talk to their parents. Parents will talk to their children. Well, they had no right to do that. They treated you miserably. They shouldn't have done that. They should have. And then the child or the mother or the father feel justified in the position of their grievance. Hello? What happened? What happened? What happened? Something was created. A platform of unrighteousness was created by virtue of the power of creation inside of you, inside of me. Hello? Hallelujah. I have to be very careful how I talk to my wife.
That's right.
I do. I have to be very careful. And if my wife is saying something, I have to be careful to be careful how I respond. Hello? And be careful what I say in response. Hello?
Amen.
I have to be careful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we want to pick things apart. We want to pick them apart, pick them. We want to see. I had a son who couldn't stand seeing something put together. He always had to take it apart. He always had to take it apart, no matter putting it back together. He just needed to take it apart and to see how it worked. And if you had a watch and you found it laying on the desk, all these pieces scattered all over the place. The watch was of no value anymore. But he found out what was inside of it. You couldn't use it. He found out what was inside of it. Hello? He found out what was going on. I said, well, how do you put it back together? He said, I don't know. That's the way we are. We want to dig and 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 dig. Get down, get down, get down. Dig it down, dig it down. Oh, there it is, there it is. Finally, and you've got this big mess all around you. You got dirt and mud and roots and all the thing. And the thing that you dug up is of no value anymore. It's dead. It's destroyed. Hallelujah. It's like Humpty Dumpty. You know that one? The one I used to tell my kids, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Huh? Hallelujah. You know something? I have found out something. If God doesn't want to tell me something about something, I don't need to know it.
Amen. Amen.
I don't want to know it. I don't want to know it.
Amen.
People get mad at me. They say, blah, blah, blah. I say, it's not my business. Not my business. Not my business. Not my business. Hello? What do you mean it's not your business? Just washing your hands of the whole deal? I said, yes. Yes. Not my business. If God wants me to know something, He knows that I'm by virtue going to do what I need to do when He gives me the information. And what He gives to me, I'm going to go down on my face before God and begin to pray. Pray, 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 pray. And if God doesn't say something further, I'm just going to go about my business until God gives me a word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, I am the great fixer-upper, right? Huh? I'm the great fixer-upper. I'm the great. I can patch this. I can patch that. I can fix this. I can fix that. I can patch, 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 patch. Huh? It's like Humpty Dumpty with scotch tape all over him. Huh? Come on, brother Ann. Hello?
Hello?
Hallelujah. I'm not saying that we don't get involved in things, but I'm saying we get involved by the Word of God.
Amen.
You know something? You come to me and say to me, God said. I said, okay. Praise the Lord. And I can say, God, He said.
That's right.
And I can take it on the virtue of who they are. I can take it on the virtue and say, all right, He feels like God said. Let's see what God said. Hello? It doesn't obligate me to move in a certain fashion if I don't have the unction to move or the witness from God to do it. It just says, okay, I release you. Go do and do what God tells you to do. Hello?
Amen.
Hello? Go do what God told you to do.
Right.
Praise the Lord. And I'll pray for you. Lord, you said, he said, you said. And yet, you know, it's serious business, brethren. Serious. We are a church that is infected with lead poisoning.
That's right.
Jesus.
That's right.
We are led to do this. We're led to do that. We're led over here. We're led over there. Led. One day we just fall down dead. Led dead. Hallelujah. There's a difference between saying, I believe God said it and I want to do it. And I have to discern the difference. I have the responsibility. But you know something? I can't even be handled with that obligation or that responsibility. Because I don't even know my own heart. Mm-hmm. I am presumptuous to think that I know what is yet inside of me that can be manipulated by God, by the devil, to produce more darkness.
Yeah.
Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have a responsibility. The Bible says, you don't know your own heart, Brother Bert. You don't know what is yet lying within there. I am presumptuous to think that I'm righteous enough to be able to handle what the iniquity that I am getting involved with. You know, sometimes I get involved with iniquity that is bigger than me. Do you know that? Hallelujah. And it's like a 160-pound man going up against a 280-pound giant without the authority of God. Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, you know what the result of that is going to be? Huh? Oh, I know Paul. I know Jesus. Who in the name of heaven are you? Huh? And then I get beat up. Hallelujah. You know, the bars are coming down. The gloves, as they say, are coming off. Hallelujah. You're not going to be able to go out of here and expect to receive what it is that God is wanting to give you if something doesn't break. Mm.
Mm.
If something doesn't break.
Oh, my.
Hallelujah. And when it's broken, things around you are going to move in a manner of fashion to produce the purity of gold that you are desiring to have.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here we have Isaiah, a man with unclean lips. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when he cried out to God, what was the response of God in it? What was God's response? He sent an angel. He sent an angel. Angel is messenger. Angel is a word, and the word was red hot. You hear me? The word was red hot. It was red hot, red hot, red hot.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And he did it. He placed it. He placed it. Placed it. He placed it. You know, when you look at that word placed, it means he deposited it. It means he just didn't touch it. He deposited it and left it there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then, and only then, was Isaiah able to assess the environment. Only then. First, him recognizing his position of iniquity, recognizing the means by which a deliverance was coming, accepting that deliverance, and in the midst of that deliverance, his eyes were healed. And he was able to see the iniquity around him. God bless you.
Amen.